Hey there. Welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. Today is July the 28th. It's a Tuesday. It's a hot day outside. At least it is in South Jersey. And I hope you're able to stick around with me for the entire 30 minutes of this program. I got a chair reserved for you at the table. It's nice and cool here. We're going to be talking about imitating Christ. This is going to be based on the classic book, The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. Several years ago when I used to do this program daily, you know, I've been doing Following the Truth for a long time on the radio before I took a 2.5 year hiatus. But one of the most popular segments that I would do, I would call it Imitating Christ, and I would read from this book. It's a great book. The translation that I'll be using, it's a good one. It's the best one I've ever seen. It's from the Catholic Book Publishing Company. It's written in a very understandable way, but yet it's got a lot of substance to it. You know, that's the sign of a book that really catches my attention. I can understand it, but yet it's not all fluff. This book is really good. And what it consists of is several short meditations about imitating Christ. And it, you know, there are, well, you'll see as we go through it, but I think it's going to be really helpful. That's our goal in life, to imitate Christ. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit to turn us into or transform us into another Christ. We can't do it by ourselves. The Christian life is not about just gritting your teeth and trying to be as good as you can and imitating Jesus. It's literally imitating him by letting the Holy Spirit work in you. So it's a doable task. You know, I think too many of us get overwhelmed when we think, oh my gosh, imitating Christ, there's no way, I just can't do it. But that's what we're called to do. But Jesus doesn't expect us to do it on our own. And that's exactly why he sent the Spirit. But this book has a lot of good information. We're going to be talking about that. I'll read it from a chapter in the book today. And, you know, I don't know how often I'm going to do this on the program. I really, you know the way I roll here. I let the Spirit lead me. I go with what I feel the Holy Spirit is asking me to talk about. Because we're living in some challenging times now. And I think I need to be flexible. Just like yesterday, I talked about praising God by complaining. I think that's a message that really had to get out there. I hope you found that helpful. I hope you find this helpful as well. You can always let me know. You can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I always encourage you to let me know what you think about the program. It really helps. It helps us to have that connection. You know what I'm saying? So always feel free to email me, and we'll see if this works. But without further ado, let's pray. Let's pray, and then I'll see if there's anything else we're supposed to talk about before we get into the imitation of Christ. All right, you ready to do this? Let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts, grateful for the fact that we're able to talk to you. We're able to present our needs to you. We're able to call you Father. That's just an incredible opportunity for us to be your adopted sons and daughters. And in the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, we are able to do that. Father, it is just such an honor to be able to think about all that you have done and all that you continue to do. The fact that you're all-powerful, you're omnipotent, you're present everywhere at once, you're omnipresent. And you know everything, you're omniscient. There's no problem, no pandemic, no crisis that we can ever face that is beyond your control. And whenever something happens in this life that we don't understand, evil, for instance, disease, we need to fall back on our faith, which teaches us that you are all powerful and that you are all loving. So when you allow evil to exist, you do it only so that you can bring good out of it. Help us to trust you more, Father. Help us to understand what you want us to understand. And then help us to trust you, because there's always going to be things that we just don't understand. And we need that grace to be able to trust you more, Father. We present you with all of our needs. Please supply them. Please help us grow in virtue today. Help us be transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus, through the help of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, for a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit this day. Give me the words that I should speak on this program so that I can present your message and not my own message. And please open all of our minds, all of our hearts, to be receptive to this message and willing to put it into practice. Father, we pray for an end to the coronavirus. We pray for an end to all of the suffering, relief for anybody who's suffering from the virus in any way right now, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. Please console them, ease their suffering. Father, I ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there you go. We got the show off to a good start by praying. Thank you for praying with me. Again, if you're just tuning in, my name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. And it's just an honor to be able to be with you and hang out with you for a little bit each day. Thank you for inviting me into your home, your car, your headphones, wherever I meet you. It's just great to be here with you. If you want to find out more about my work and you happen to be a new listener, you can go to my website, followingthetruth.com. Just don't forget, sign up for my daily email reflection. It's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can do that at followingthetruth.com. Also, you might want to catch me tomorrow if you're up early. At 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, I'll be on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show with my weekly Stop Worrying and Start Living segment. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about St. Martha. You know, it's her memorial today. You know, remember Martha and Mary? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha rushed around doing all kinds of work. And then finally she turned to Jesus, frustrated, and said, "Hey, Lord, don't you care if my sister's not helping me?" Well, we're going to be talking about that verse on the Sunrise Morning Show. So if you're able to listen, it's going to be on EWTN Radio tomorrow morning, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. Okay, the imitation of Christ. Now, I told you we're going to talk about, and it's going to be an ongoing series. I don't know how ongoing, how regular. I don't know if I'll do it once a week, maybe more than once a week. It really depends. It really depends what where it leads and how I feel it's helping, but I think it's really going to be helpful. Let's talk about this. This book is The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. It's a classic book. It is. There have been many different translations of the book over the years. This is the best one I've found. It's from the Catholic Book Publishing Company. It's a nice little hardback book. At the time I bought it, it was under $10. You could probably find it on Amazon. As far as I know, it's still in print. Just let me give you an idea from the foreword of the book about what this is, give you an idea what this is about, where we're headed, because I think this is going to be good. The foreword starts that our Lord's words, "Anyone who wishes to follow me must deny self, take up the cross daily and follow me," Luke 9:23. were spoken for people of all times and localities. How often do we say and hear others say, "Oh, if only I could have a little peace"? Perhaps our greatest hindrance to the peace we all desire so much is the constant urge to lift the veil and see what tomorrow will bring. We are all surrounded by this attitude. Our weather forecasts are also occupied with what is coming next. So we let today's moments slip by us almost unheeded. You know, that's a great point, and one that you've heard me talk about before. The author in the foreword here, the author mentions this Bible verse, Luke 9:23, when Jesus said, "If you wish to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me." Luke adds that word "daily," and I think that's really important for us to remember. Look, we're going to have crosses every day. You can't experience joy even while you're experiencing a cross. You might be going through suffering. You might be going through difficulties. We're all in a global pandemic right now. It doesn't mean we can't be peaceful, but we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we need to focus on the present moment. this book talks about, the author continues saying that, therefore, it is well for us to live our lives each day fully. You will say perhaps that your life is full, that you're on the go every minute, but we forget that we're made up of body and soul, and all this hyperactivity leaves no time for the soul to breathe. You know, that's what precisely what happened with St. Martha. Mary recognized Jesus was in her midst. She sat there. She appreciated Jesus. She connected with him. Martha was running around. What she was doing wasn't bad, but her attitude was bad. She allowed the work to get the best of her. So the book states that, and this foreword that I'm reading from, this is a new edition. This is not the original writing of Thomas A. Kempis. This is from the publisher. And it states that it is the fervent hope of the publisher of this new edition of The Imitation of Christ that this treasured little book will become a daily reminder of and a spur to follow the life of Christ to which all are called. And here's what I think. I think that far from making your life a burden, for making it more difficult, this book's going to simplify your life. This book is going to give you the peace that you look for, that we all long for. It's going to give you direction. How do I imitate Christ? What do I do, Lord? How do I proceed? I think this is going to help. So let's see how this works. This is chapter one on following Christ, our model. And I'm looking over this. This is like a couple pages, maybe a page and a half tops. It's very short, so I'll be able to work most of this into the show. We are called to become Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit's going to transform into Jesus. So our actions, our thoughts even, and our words should mirror Jesus in some way. That's the goal. Now, don't freak out. Don't think, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get there. Because if you think like that, you probably are never going to get there because you'll give up. We do this gradually, one day at a time, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus leads us. See, he leads us every day. We're not in this by ourselves. He's leading us. We need to keep our eyes on him if we ever want to experience his peace and be able to do his will. We have to follow Jesus. We have to not get ahead of him. We need to follow him. He leads, we follow. All right, so let's read some of this. No one who follows me will ever walk in darkness. These are the words of Jesus in John 8:12. You know, we feel like we're walking in darkness sometimes, don't we? And this pandemic is absolutely an unprecedented time in history, at least in modern history, that, you know, we could say we can go back to the 1918, the Spanish flu. But this is different because we were living at an unprecedented level of technological progress. We had instantaneous news at our fingertips. We had so many more modern conveniences than they had back in 1918. We were, we were a more self-centered society, I would think. I'm going to just say this is unprecedented. And certainly in my lifetime, in your lifetime, we've never seen anything like this before. We never envisioned a time when things would be shut down to this level. So these are tough times. And we do feel like we're in the dark sometimes. When are we going to get out of this thing? What's next, right? Do you ever think like that? What's next? But Jesus assures us, and this is legit. You know, this isn't fluff. No one who ever follows me will ever walk in darkness. If you go ahead of them, you're going to walk in darkness. If you ignore them, you're going to walk in darkness. But if you follow him, that's important. You have to follow him. He leads, you're behind him. You follow him. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. Now, the book states, these words of our Lord counsel all to walk in his footsteps. If you want to see clearly and avoid blindness of heart, it is his virtues you must imitate. Make it your aim to meditate on the life of Jesus Christ. This is what we as Christians are called to do. This is how you're going to get to know Jesus. This is how you're going to get to know the Father better. This is how you're going to get to know the Holy Spirit better. It all works together. By making it your goal to think about the life of Jesus Christ every day in some way. And that's where the Gospels can be really helpful for that. Because Jesus gave us the example. He gave us the example of what the perfect man should do and say and think about. He gave us that example. And if we follow him, and remember, we're not doing this on our own. We're doing this with the help of the Holy Spirit. If we follow him, then we are, if we meditate on his life with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are going to be able to gradually look more like him. So when somebody sees us, they'll see less of us as a person and more of Jesus working in us. That's our goal. Don't think about how it's possible. Just think about taking one step at a time. All right, back to the book. Christ's teaching surpasses that of all the saints. But to find this spiritual nourishment, you must seek to have the Spirit of Christ. It is because we lack this Spirit that so often we listen to the gospel without really hearing it. Those who fully understand Christ's words must labor to make their lives conform to his. And you see what he did? He gave us his Spirit. He gave us his Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of Jesus. And the Spirit resides in us. So we want to, when we read the Gospels or we meditate on the life of Christ, and you know that word can be scary sometimes. Meditating means just thinking about. When we think about the life of Christ, we want to do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's always a good idea before you read Scripture to say, "Come, Holy Spirit," or "Holy Spirit, open my mind," so that I can really be able to understand what you want me to get out of this gospel reading or book, certain books of Scripture. To be learned and able to discuss the Trinity will get you nowhere if you do not have humility and therefore displease the Holy Trinity. Lofty words neither save you nor make you a saint. Only a virtuous life makes you dear to God. It's better to experience contrition than to be able to define it. Humility, it's important. And if we are to imitate Jesus, we need to be humble, because look at what he did. He lowered himself, took on a human body, and suffered, and was experienced one humiliation after another leading up to the crucifixion. He didn't try to boss people around. He didn't try to be the guy in charge. He showed us what it means to be humble. Let's see, the book says, to be well-versed in Scripture and all the sayings of philosophers will not profit you if you are without God's love and his grace. And there's a quote from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 2, all things are vanity. Nothing matters except to love God and to serve him only. The height of wisdom is to set your goal on heaven by despising the world. Now, that despising, it's a strong word, doesn't mean you hate people. But it means you seek first the kingdom. You seek first the invisible kingdom of God. You seek Jesus. You try to do in life what he would do. What would Jesus do? You remember that old saying that was so popular? You don't hear it as much anymore, but what would Jesus do? All the wisdom in the world, all the head knowledge in the world, and that includes knowing your catechism back and forth and sideways. All that book knowledge, that head knowledge, is not going to do you any good unless you are living it, unless internally you have the motivation of Jesus, unless you're loving other people. I remember when I first started trying to make an effort to learn the teachings of the church. I was a jerk, and I wanted to get into fights and prove that I was right. And there was pride associated with it. You know, I was saying, yeah, I'm doing it for Jesus, but I wanted to win that argument because the Catholic faith is the right faith, and I'm going to teach people that I know best and that they're wrong. That's not the attitude of Jesus. You know, there's a way to teach the truth, but you do it in a loving way, and it involves being a nice person. Because let's face it, we're not going to successfully be able to proclaim the good news and evangelize anybody if we're not nice about it. We have to, yes, there are times when you have to be firm and you have to be willing to make an enemy or two because people will disagree with you. We can't compromise the truth. But man, there is a way to ease into it and to choose the proper moment. Book knowledge means nothing if you don't have love. Because the goal of this life is to love as Jesus loved, which was unconditional. It led him to the cross. So that's what really matters. Okay, let's see what we got. How foolish, and this is almost done. I told you this was really simple. How foolish it is to seek and put your trust in riches. That will pass, I'll say. How foolish to go after worldly honors and to set yourself above others. How foolish to follow the impulses of the flesh or to covet those things which so soon will cost you a heavy penalty. How foolish to wish for a long life, but not care whether it is a good life. To be concerned only with the present, with never a thought of eternity and the endless joy that awaits you. Now, if you're listening, you're saying, wait a minute, I thought you told me we have to care about the present moment. Good catch if you caught that. What Thomas Kempis is getting at here is that it's wrong for us to just live for the enjoyment of the present moment, to go for the pleasure. Everything is self-gratification. If this feels good, I'm going to do it. And not worry about the fact that I'll be judged one day. Not worry about the fact that I'm going to have to give an account for my life. That's wrong. If you live for the moment in that sense, you're not doing what Jesus wants you to do. Jesus wants you to live for the moment in the sense that you trust him, that you follow him, that you put one foot in front of the other, that you don't try to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. But certainly you're going to have in your mind the fact that your life on this earth is going to come to an end. And we want to do all that we can to share the good news today, because we really never know how many more days we'll have. And that's something that motivates me. It took me a long time to begin to grasp that and to understand it. But I'm very aware of that, very aware of that, especially in these times in which we live. It's pretty obvious that we are not immortal and that we really don't have as much control as we'd like. You know, I think we all need to understand that. Often think of the proverb, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. Be determined to detach your heart from the love of visible things, allowing it to center on those unseen. So that's it. That's the first chapter. These are really short chapters. And the first chapter in the book, The Imitation of Christ. Keep your eye on Jesus. Let's follow him by thinking about his life, what he did, what he said, what he commanded us to do. And not get caught up into the pleasure trap in that we just seek comfort in the things of the world. And let me tell you, I'm an expert in that. I've gone down that road and I've realized that. Look, as somebody who has struggled with anxiety and been a worrier for many years, I get the idea of wanting to drown your sorrows in any number of different ways. But none of these ways really ever made me happy. It just dulled the pain for a little bit. You probably can relate in some way. Only a relationship with Christ has brought me lasting peace and continues to bring me lasting peace, even in the midst of the uncertainty of this COVID-19 pandemic. I still have been having a lot of peace. Now, do I ever feel my peace begin to fade? Yeah. And it's usually directly proportional to how much news I'm watching, because you look at the stories and it's just one bad news story after another. So my philosophy has been, and you've heard me say this before, inform yourself, know what you have to know, but don't dwell on it. Don't spend an excessive amount of time. And I would recommend that in the morning, instead of turning the news on first thing or hitting the internet or looking on Facebook or however you get your news, do your prayers first. Spend some time with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. You know, spend some time in prayer first before you do that, before you even look at what's going on in the world. You're going to feel a lot more peaceful if you do that. Again, let me know what you think about this Imitation of Christ. This was just the introductory chapter. The next chapter is on having a humble opinion of oneself. And, you know, I think that's something that I don't know exactly where you are, because I understand that when I do a show like this, I have people all over the place. You may be humble. You may think very highly of yourself. You may have a self-esteem issue. So I've got to really speak to everyone. But there's a good chance we all could use a little bit more humility. Even if we tend to be worriers, you know, and we try to We try to manipulate God in our prayers by telling him exactly what he needs to do to fix our problems. That's a sign of pride, because we don't trust in his ability to handle things, and we have to give him some help. So, you know, we really got to be careful about that, too. But humility, having a lower opinion of yourself, doesn't mean you think of yourself in a bad way. It's just you know who you are. You see yourself as you really are. You're a creature. God is the creator. There's a big difference. And I think if we learn to do more of that, we will be imitating Jesus, who always sought to do the will of his Father. That's what he did. And that's what we're supposed to do as well. So imitating him is a really good thing. It's doable because he gave us his Spirit. So you and Jesus, you have something in common. You got the same Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. That's his Spirit. And he infused you with that Spirit who dwells in you. I can't tell you how important that is, because if you don't take advantage of the Holy Spirit, that gift that you have of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're going to go nuts trying to imitate Jesus on your own. So let's do that. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. Let's try to let the Holy Spirit work in us and transform us into the image of Jesus. Now, tomorrow on the show, I'll probably end up talking about St. Martha. That's what I would guess. How do you not talk about Martha and Mary on the memorial feast of St. Martha, right? Such a great story. So we'll probably talk about that on the show, unless, of course, my friend the Holy Spirit takes me in a different direction. If you want to find out more about me, don't forget to check out followingthetruth.com. Donations are a little light right now, so if you're able to possibly send along a donation, I would really appreciate that. You can do that online securely by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. And you know what? If you're able to become a monthly sponsor, even for $10 a month, which is like 33 cents a day, I could really use a few more monthly sponsors to help ensure that my work continues during these difficult economic times. So you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com, click on donate. It'll direct you to PayPal and make it real easy for you. I hope you know that I'm praying for you. Hope you know that you can and will be able to look like Christ if you let the Holy Spirit work in you. Just keep turning on to the Spirit and you'll be fine. God bless you. See you next time on Following the Truth.